What's up, everybody? My name's Dustin, and this is the Sweet Science Class Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome to today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. We had about a two-week break or so, got real busy at work, all were kind of busy on our own. It was kind of a lull in fight weekends, not much happened last week, so we took a little chill. Now we're back. We're going to talk about all the fights this weekend. Mainly, we're going to focus on the Hammerschilds fight, but we'll go down the list, let everyone know what's happening. I got Sergio standing by. What's up, Sergio?
Chilling, baby. How's everyone doing? How's the Sweet Science Class doing? The fam, how the followers, everyone that supports Sweet Science Class, holla, baby.
And unfortunately, Felix was not able to join us today. He's taking care of some personal stuff. So we're just going to knock this out. This won't be long. There's not a lot to say about a lot of these fights. And then we'll dabble on the Hammer Shields. That's the big epic one this weekend. And then we'll get out of here. Probably 15, 20 minutes. So starting from the top, starting with Friday. The undercard before the main event. Gilbert Zerto Ramirez is making his debut at 175 pounds against Tommy Carpency. Tommy Carpency has several losses. He was knocked out by Vozdick. He was knocked out by Adonis Stevenson. So I guess this is a good fight to kind of gauge what Zerto's going to be at 175. But it's Tommy's not, you know, the greatest. It's a good, you know, we can see how he is, but this isn't like the most exciting fight. You have any input on this one, Sergio?
I take the fifth. I'm sorry, brother. There's so many fights out there, and there's so little time and juggling everything that I try to focus at least on the relevant fights. Good luck to both of the pugilists. I wish them nothing but they come out healthy and the same as they went in, but I have no comment. Take the fifth, brother.
Yeah, I really don't either. All I'll say is if Zerto wins, I'm already seeing that Zerto and Callum Smith are discussing, I believe, a unification showdown. Unless I read that wrong today, I'll correct myself later.
No, I think you're right. I think I read that he'll be in line. He'll be in line on paper for the championship.
Okay, good deal. That's what I thought.
Yeah, bro.
And then the main event: Vasily Lomachenko taking on Anthony Crolla. I mean, Crolla's a tough guy. He's lost twice to Linares. He's got 6 losses and 3 draws. Skill-wise, this isn't really all that close. I mean, the odds are what they are. Crolla is a massive underdog. I don't expect anything other than a Loma magic show. What about you, Sergio?
Well, look, I'm always of the belief that the best evidence of future performance is past performance. Loma, when he enters this fight, he will be in his 7th elite fight. That means he has fought 7 elite fighters per box track. I've been running box track a lot, but I analyze their algorithm. I'm a tax CPA. It makes sense. Is there errors? Of course there's errors, because you can't capture subjectivity of boxing in an algorithm. It's impossible. It has to be objective data. That being said, we have Loma, who's going into his 7th elite bout, and Crolla has never fought an elite bout. He's fought excellent bouts, good bouts, fair bouts, and no-name bouts. So this, to me, this is probably another showcase of Loma branding him. I'll be honest with you, Dustin. I'm 90-10. I expect dissection. I expect a clinic by Loma just by the pass, bro. Bro, Loma has fought everyone, and cleaned everyone out against except that split loss with Salido. That was the second bout, but has cleaned out everyone. And this cat is not at Regal's level. Is not at Salido. You know what I'm saying? This cat is on the next level, below. So I expect a dissection.
I do too. I expect the Loma stop mid to late rounds.
Yeah, like the towel gets thrown in because Loma's been around six of Mayweather Gotti. There are so many 6-7 hit combos that either the towel's thrown in when the bell rings ends around, your trainer tells you, hey, that's it, it's over. Because it looks like target practice. You know, 7-6 hit combos, and Loma has that ability because of his angles. I'm not going to say he's knocking him out, because he's only been knocked out once. But what I'm saying is that Loma has the ability, as we all know, to make a good guy look amateurish. That's what I expect.
Yeah, me too. I expect like a TKO, quit on the stool,
towel. Yeah, you're right. Towel thrown in, referee stops the fight, something like that, yeah. So do I.
Okay, so that covers Friday. So we'll move on to Saturday. We got three cards Saturday. It's a good day. We'll start with the Fox card. We discussed this off. We really don't have a lot to say about either of these. Caleb Truax is taking on Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen. The loser of that fight is really going to take a step back. So
yeah,
must-win. Yeah. And both are in similar, somewhat desperate positions. A win is very, very, very necessary. Also on that same card, you got Sergey Derevyanchenko making his first fight back since the Jacobs fight. And he's taking on Jack Kolce. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Not a lot to say about this one either, but I will tell people, I think a lot of people are sleeping on this fight. This is going to be probably a pretty action-packed fight, and the winner will take a giant step forward in the 160 division. Anything, Sergio?
100% vouch everything that Dustin just said. Just to make it clear, Kid Chocolate Quillen, right? He got that Kid Chocolate, you know, that famous Cuban name, and I'm Cuban American. He ain't got no Cuban. I think he about a 10th Cuban, just to make that clear. As Dustin said, this is a fight that will determine the gatekeeper. Whoever loses this bout, that's it. I'm not even sure they'll get Univision coverage. Like, that's it. The guy that wins is the gatekeeper of 160. Excuse me, is it 160 or 154?
160.
160. The guy who wins that bout will become a gatekeeper. The gatekeeper of 160. Sure, he'll probably be in line for titles and that, but from a quality standpoint, that's that. The other fight, I plead the fifth. I have very, very little to say about that, but I will say, just because of the way the system works, whoever wins this fight is in line for a Jacobs, Triple G, probably even a Canelo, Billy Joe Sanders, you know, Andrade, whoever has the belts and the good guys.
It is very possible, because the Derevyanchenko Kolce fight is an eliminator. I'm almost wondering if the winner, since they're on the same card, now that I'm thinking about the irony of that, maybe the winner of Derevyanchenko Kolce fights the winner of Truax Quillen. That doesn't seem super fair, but
I mean, yeah. I mean, the Quillen started off like a shining star.
Yep.
I respect everyone, but what he's shown in the last four or five fights, it's like, wow, what happened? Something happened there. I don't know what happened, but it went from, like, you are going to be a star in this way to, like, you are a gatekeeper in this way. And that, I don't know what happened in that transition. I probably didn't follow it. I know I didn't follow it. That's why I don't have nothing to opine about. But something happened there that whoever loses that bout is out, and whoever wins is the gatekeeper of the division, in my opinion. Again,
I agree.
It's all opinion, guys.
I agree. And the Quillen, last thing I'll say on Quillen, it is a very peculiar thing, because I've been following Kid Chocolate for a while. And for a while, yes, he looked like the man. And I was telling everybody,
he looked like Kid Chocolate.
Yeah.
He looked like the original Kid Chocolate from Cuba.
Yeah, I kept telling everybody, you got to watch this Quillen guy. And then all
of
a sudden, he had three wins in a row or so that just weren't that impressive to me. Every time it would end, I'd be like, man, I don't know what I thought about that. He didn't seem as impressive as he used to be. And then the Danny Jacobs fight happened.
Yep.
And that washed it all away. So I don't know what happened to this man, but maybe we'll see something. I don't know. This Truax fight.
Who knows? The theater of do the unexpected, like the great Larry Merchant used to say. Who knows? And what is his other quote that I loved? This is a sport of what have you done lately, not what have you done lately.
Right. Also, we can't forget that Caleb Truax upset James DeGale coming off that shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
And Quillen hasn't been super active, and he's a little maybe
he's
weird PBC. Mentally.
He's PBC, bro.
I would not be shocked if Truax pulls a crazy upset off. I know he's the slight
underdog. I wouldn't be shocked either. I wouldn't be shocked either because of just Quillen's morale of his last bouts, especially the Jacobs bout. It's been a cascading effect. It wasn't just only the Jacobs bout. It's if you look at his three previous bouts, it's like he's declining at an accelerated rate, and then obviously he collapsed with Jacobs.
Right.
That's what it looks like to me.
And Truax brings it.
Yeah.
He's not the greatest, right. But he definitely brings it. So who knows in that one? Who knows?
Exactly. Who knows?
Then you switch over to DAZN. There's really only one fight to touch on. And again, not a lot to say. We got Jaime Munguia taking on Dennis Hogan. I mean, it should be an expected win for Munguia. I don't have a lot to say about this. Sergio?
Have a little bit to say. There's a huge percentage when a boxer gets into a ring that's called momentum. And yes, Dennis Hogan is not, you know, he's a good / very good fighter, right? He's not excellent, he's not elite. But he's on a 5-win streak. He's lost once, he's drawn once. Again, the opposition that he's fought cannot compare it to Mia. Actually, the opposition he's fought is good and fair. So with that being said, you know how it is. You know, you can look like Roy Jones Jr. Once you step up in class, you look like Jeff Lace against Calzaghe. And I keep on saying that over and over and over about Teofimo. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I hear you, but you're great. You're a badass, bro. You're selling yourself props, but, like, the numbers don't back up your bark. So, like, when are you going to fight a 5-star bout, you know what I'm saying? Because the guy you're talking about has 7. Is about to have 7 in his belt. So this guy doesn't have those 5-star, 4-star bouts, but he has momentum. That's all I got to say about that. I expect Munguia to either win YDUD or take him on in the late rounds by TKO.
Yep, my thoughts exactly. And that moves us into the final bout of the night. This one we'll talk a couple more minutes on. This is the one we actually have some input. Man, the women are still on the show this weekend. We just went down a whole list of dudes fighting, and I think we can all pretty much agree that the most exciting fight this weekend, the most 50-50, crazy coin toss flip fight, is Christina Hammer versus Clarissa Shields for all the belts. The winner will be only the second female in history to unify every single belt. This is history, man. This is a big, big fight. I'll let Sergio spit on what he thinks about this fight, then I'll wrap it up, and then we'll get out of here.
Man, let me just echo exactly what Dustin just said. This is epic. You know, Hammer is 24-0, 11 knockouts. 24-0, 11 knockouts. That's a 44% KO ratio, right? Shields, as rugged as Shields is, obviously not the same experience, hasn't fought the elite competition that Shields fought, but she's not walking the park. She's like, I want to call her Jose Luis Castillo female version. She's just bum rushes you. Smothers, bum rushes you. And when you have, remember Margarito, remember Hatton against Zoo? When you have someone in front of you at 100% for fucking 12 rounds, you're going to crack in the 9th or 10th. That's the only thing with the only possible way that I see Shields. Hammer being Shields. Did I say it right? Yeah, Hammer being Shields. No, Shields in Hammer. Sorry, my bad. But yeah, that is the only, in my opinion, I can be completely wrong. This is, for all the bells and whistles, this is basically a rumble in the jungle for the women's boxing. Because there's only been, what was it, Ann Wolf never fought Ali's daughter, correct?
They never fought.
But Ann Wolf and Ali were like Joe Louis and Muhammad Ali at the time, when they at the same time together.
Yeah.
Would you agree on that?
Yeah, that was the fight that probably needed to be
made. Yeah,
that
was a fight. And that was never made. Politics. Well, after that fight, that's already mystical because they're both retired. This is the fight. This is it. It's not Goliath versus David. It's, you know, George Foreman versus Lyle. You know, Ron Lyle. This is this type of bout. You know, from a quality standpoint, from a pedigree standpoint, from a skill set standpoint, and I'm gonna be honest, I'm rooting for a good fight, but I can't see Hammer losing this fight on paper from what I've seen compared to Shields. It just doesn't, for me. And my center has Shields yet. 20, that's it. That's all I gotta say about that, man. That's the fight of the week. The women take it this week. Congratulations. And I'm all for, and let me just also state, I'm all for the 3-minute round for women. I don't know where the 2-minute round came from, because I've been hearing a lot of backlash in through the grapevine of, you know, why do we have 2 minutes, not 3-minute rounds? I'm all for it. However you ladies want. You want 2 or 3 minute rounds, I'm for it. You ladies take the cake this week, and I'm very, very, very happy that tomorrow night we get to see Hammer and Shields. That's the bout for me of the week.
Very nicely said. I will finish up with my thoughts, and we need to wrap it. I'm looking at my laptop battery, and it's slowly dying, fellas. So
go for it.
Fellas and ladies. This is for the ladies, too, especially with Hammer and Shields coming up. First off, I want to say I agree with him. I think they should have 3 minutes. I don't see the point. They're not any lesser of fighters, male or female. You still are a boxer. If they want three, give them three.
Yep.
The end of that. I mean, if that's what they want, give it to them. Now, as far as this fight goes, I love this fight because it really does feel like an Ali Frazier type thing, because it's the polar opposite of every possibility. Hammer and Shields' personality, completely different. They're from different countries. Their fighting styles, completely different. Hammer, undefeated champion for 10 years as a pro. Yeah, Shields only has 8 fights and has only been doing it about 2 years. But she was a double gold Olympian with a big amateur background. So it's really, you know, who's going to – and then you just a random example, Loma was double gold. Took his second fight with Salido, and he lost. Yeah. Granted, this is her 9th fight, so it's much more appropriate. To me, this fight is very 50-50, and it's really going to become the bull and the matador. And kind of like Sergio said, I think I'm leaning towards the matador. But I want to see how the bull works, because out of all the research I've done on Christina Hammer and everything I've seen for her over the years, and I've, like Sergio said he was, I've been going back, watching old fights, staring at BoxRec. I've been really trying to research the hell out of this fight. The really only weakness I see in Christina Hammer, who has a fantastic jab, great 3-4 piece combos, good footwork. Christina Hammer is really the real deal as far as skill, you know, all around.
Yeah.
The only thing I see, she's not the greatest inside fighter. And Clarissa Shields 100% wants to be on the inside.
The Jose Luis Castillo, like I said, Jose Luis Castillo, she wants to pull a smother bout like Jose Luis Castillo versus Mayweather 1, like Hatton versus Zou, like that type of bout. If you're on someone that long for so many rounds, bro, it's a world of attrition, bro. If Shields can do it, she wins. But a jab will fix that very fast.
Yes, it will.
She won't be able to come. But hey, and I gotta give shout outs to not only Bernie, but fucking, and I just blanked out. But always, these are two trainers that have always told me, like George Foreman said on HBO commentating, this sport is easy as long as you have a jab. If you have a jab, and Hammer does, you can stop that. You can, because she's, who's a taller fighter? Hammer's a taller fighter.
Yep.
Fighting tall with the jab, sort of like what Spence just did. Spence fought that, won that bout with one gear and basically one punch. Two punches. The jab, obviously, would set up the body shot, the left hook. But it was the same thing. The tall guy just stopping everything. Boom, boom. If Shields can do that, excuse me, Hammer can do that, I don't see Shields with plan B, because Shields is a smother. So, I don't know. I don't know. It will probably go 12 rounds. You're right about that.
I think it goes.
It'll go 12 rounds.
I think it goes. I don't see that knockout. And Felix said, the 2-minute rounds may favor Hammer.
Of course,
because if Shields has 3 minutes, that's a whole extra 12 minutes to smother in that fight that she doesn't get.
Absolutely, and let me tell you, that 1 minute, when you're in that 1 minute smothering, feels like 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Not 1 minute. So I. You're absolutely right. It's sort of like a small ring always favors a counterpuncher.
Right.
Always favors a counterpuncher. Again, everything equal, it favors a counterpuncher. The outside puncher wants a big ring. The counterpuncher wants a small ring. Sometimes you get both the mix, like, sort of like Mayweather, sort of like Marquez. But long story short, a short round will favor Shields, because it's 2 minutes of pure smother instead of 3 minutes of pure smother. So I completely agree with that. I don't think Shields has the power to knock out Hammer. I think Hammer could catch Shields, but from a power standpoint, I don't think she can knock, because Shields is raw, you know, like balls to the wall. She's a woman, so I guess clitters to the wall. type of opponent, but this is going to decision. That's a fact. And if it's Hammer fighting tall with a jab like Spence, I see a long night for Shields. She should never be able to get into smother, because she'll be stopped on her track every time that jab lands.
That's pretty much exactly where I sit. I'm leaning to Hammer. I expect the jab and the length and the outside to work, but I'm not going to count Shields out. That's why this fight, it's almost like Fury Wilder. It's so 50-50. It's just a beautiful clash of styles, and I really can't wait. And it's a win-win for me personally, and I'm going to say it like this. If Shields wins, then America unified all the belts. If Hammer wins... Ooh, Daddy winning some loot, because Hammer is an underdog on the internet, on the gambling sites, and I'm not sure why. I feel like this should be basically even. I really almost thought Hammer would be the favorite. I was very shocked to see Hammer such an underdog, so I definitely jumped on that. But hey, I like Shields, and if she wins, go America. So I'm not rooting for either, and I think it's a 50-50 fight. But I am leaning Hammer, as Sergio said. I think the matador will tame the bull. But sometimes that bull shoves a horn through the guy. So you never know.
You never know. And everyone listening, remember, this is for all the marbles. This isn't for one belt. No. This is for, like, the whole shebang.
I think they even made him a special belt. So the winner's literally leaving with, like, 5 or 6 belts.
Yeah. Like I said, like a god, like a elite. You know what I'm saying? You just walk out, and it's like, thank you, everything. All the belts are just falling off of you as you walk. You walk in and they get naked. I love when Ali, after Foreman in the dressing room with presser women, just got balls to the wall naked right in front of him. He's talking. You know what I'm talking about, right? after Foreman. Like, he's on the pad, just talking there naked. And I'm like, what the fuck, bro? This drills there, but he has balls to the wall, bro. That's the type of fucking thing it is. Belts falling, girls taking out the top. She's going to be taking out the top, and she's going in. That's how I see this. I mean, this is as big as it gets for women. if there was an Ali versus Wolf, this would be right under. But this is as big as it gets.
It really is.
In boxing.
It really is.
From what I've read and everything, and from what I followed, you know? I don't know why that fight never happened, but it didn't. But we got another one this Saturday. So
yep. This is the Triple G Canelo for females, everybody. So
yeah,
go Hammer, go Shields, man. It's cool to see the women in the spotlight this hard. I'm happy to see it. And I'm legitimately never been so excited for a women's boxing match. I am super pumped, man. This is the highlight of the weekend.
Yep.
So I think we hit all the points. So comment, let us know what you think. Who's going to win, Hammer or Shields? Talk about the other fights and the undercards. We got 4 events this weekend, 1 Friday, 3 Saturday. And we'll probably drop an episode Sunday recapping the whole weekend, letting y'all know what happened with Hammer Shields, talking about it with y'all. So, Sergio, any final words before we wrap it?
Bro, I just want to give a shout-out to you, Justin. Texas in the house. I want to give a shout-out to Felix. L.A. in the house, because I never give a shout-out to my brothers. I want to give a shout-out to Scotland. Give a shout-out to India with Raul. I want to give a shout-out to the whole fam everywhere. Alicia, everywhere all over the globe. I hope you tune in. I hope you hear us. And I hope we have great fights on Saturday, and we will. So with that, man, Mike's out.
Yes. Peace, everybody. And now that he says that, it does blow my mind to think how many friends we have in so many different countries inside of our group. It is a beautiful thing. So we love having y'all. We thank you for listening. Thanks for following us. And we will see you for Hammer Shields, baby.
Amen, baby.